You said, John just logged in and said, "What up?"
What up? Which is not even the thing from the ad.
It's not a thing. It's not. That was never a thing. It never will be a thing. Stop trying to make it a thing.
Yeah. For God's sake, show a little self-respect, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, so many old commercial gags have stuck with me, right? Because before we had memes, that was what we had, was like commercials, like things.
I'd be dropping this bussy down to the floor to the O'Reilly Auto Parts theme song whenever it comes on. I'll be watching like people doing burnouts on YouTube, and now they're making you watch like 30 seconds worth of ads to watch a single video.
Oh,
it's
what?
Fucked up, man.
That is fucked up. I mean, yeah. I pay for YouTube Premium. I'm a dirty premium payer.
What?
But I watch. So,
they got you?
They got me. Well, they got, because I had Google Play Music when that was a thing, right?
Another service I can't see a reason to have.
Well, I just wanted it because I was tired of Spotify. Like Spotify, I don't remember what pissed me off, but like my Spotify had got fucked up somehow, and I was like, fuck this. And I got Google Play Music, and also partly because they were advertising, it comes with YouTube Red, which at the time was what they were calling YouTube Premium. Mm. And then they got rid of Google Play Music, lowered my monthly subscription from 15 down to 10. And they were like, you just have YouTube Premium now. And now I just pay for YouTube Premium. But to be fair,
are you back on the Spotify train?
Yes, weirdly, because I needed a good way to organize a wedding playlist. And I didn't feel like individually downloading hundreds of songs.
I'm an Apple Music cuck. That's like something
that's
I take a lot of shame at, but it's like we got the family plan, so everybody in the family's on it, and it's like cheap for each of us. The only thing is, it's like I can't make a collaborative playlist with anybody because they're all on Spotify.
Right.
But,
exactly.
Apple Music basically sucks. The thing is, I was paying for Spotify for years. And that was what I switched to when I stopped. Like, I used to be that guy. I would go on all the private torrent trackers, meticulously arrange my library with every album artwork. I would have a day, a Sunday night every week for me in like high school and early in college was like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to organize my iTunes library. I'm like, I have the 320 kilobyte rip of this, but maybe I should get the V0. Variable bit rate rip of this, so it'll fit on my 16 gigabyte iPod.
Yeah. That's the thing, because like I had when I was in fucking high school, I didn't do a good job of organizing my music. But when I was in high school, I had a fucking MP3 player that I got for like $40 at Kohl's something like that, and it held half a gig of music.
Nice.
So I could fit like 9 King Crimson songs on there, or a couple albums by any other band. And that was like, that was it for me. Like, I would get so excited. I'd wake up in the morning. I'd be like, what album am I listening to today? Buckethead, Robots and Monsters. Okay, go. And then I'd listen to that. And then the next day I'd wake up and I'd be like, okay, gotta delete Monsters and Robots to make room for Buckethead Land 1 and 2 so I can listen to those today. Like, those were the days, really.
Yeah, that's that. I mean, like, also our music taste changed like drastically since then. I'm sure if I found my old music library, it would be like 320 rips and FLAC rips of nothing that I want to listen to now.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the Steely Dan? I had no taste when I was 17.
We are getting old, yeah.
Yeah, when the Dan starts to sound really good, when you find yourself looking for deeper meaning in the lyrics of My Old School, that's when you know you're over 30. Like, you have hit the benchmark.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it's there's nothing wrong with that, listeners. You're listening to Beep Beep, and once again, it's just John and me, so we're going to talk about a bunch of things that you don't care about, and we don't care. You're paying for this. No, just kidding. It's a free episode. Welcome,
everybody.
Yeah, how's your week going?
Oh, it's good. It's good. I'm doing the employment dance right now. I have a couple of interviews lined up for this coming week.
Sweet.
And my bread delivery job, they're asking me if I want to learn how to mix the bread. Like, mix the
hell
dough.
Yes.
So I'm gonna go in on Tuesday and learn how to mix the dough. And then
making dough, making bread.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. That's right. Well, and then they want somebody to fucking bake as well, which is, here's the thing. I can't do all of them.
Getting bread and getting baked. I mean, right, come on. I already, it's the perfect that. Job for you. Yeah.
But like the delivery starts at 6 and the bakers bake overnight from 11 to 6 and the mixers mix in the afternoon.
So you could be working 24/7 if you wanted to.
Right. Yeah. So Friday and Saturday, I could come in at 4 in the afternoon and then leave at 11 in the morning.
Just get a cot in the back room, 15-minute naps.
And get all of my work in for the week in 2 days. It wouldn't be the most insane thing I've ever done, but I'm definitely not putting myself through that.
Yeah, I feel that.
I would bake. That's the thing. Like, the head baker is really great. Mo, he's got a great French accent. I could listen to him complain about shit all night. I don't want to work 11 to 6. That's really brutal.
Yeah. I worked, I used to do like a 3 a.m. to like 6 p.m. like a stupidly long shift when I was working at a factory. Mm-hmm. And that shit sucked. I was getting, you know, 60 hours. So it was like 20 hours of time and a half a week. But right. When time and a half is like, you know, factory per hour wages and a half, it's not that great. I mean, like, it was definitely something. But the problem with doing that is just like, you don't have any energy outside of work to do anything whatsoever.
Right. You know? No, I already come home from the days where I do the bread delivery in the morning and then I work at the lavender farm in the afternoon. And like today, I left 2 hours early and I still came home fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
Like scrounging around in the bottom of a box of Modelo's that aren't even warm or that aren't even cold. Just like, give me a fucking lager for Christ's sake.
We may have talked about this before, but are you hip to that Modelo? That's a helada.
The fucking, yeah, Modelo chelada things. It's in the just tall cans.
Modelo and tomato juice.
They're so fucking good.
Yeah. I knew we could bond on that.
Yeah.
So good.
I posted my recipe for a chelada that I make at home online, and a couple of people were like, you know, my family is Mexican, and let me tell you, that sounds good, but it's not a chelada. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Hell yeah. No, right, you know, well, if I was tasked with making a chelada, what I would basically do is do equal parts beer, like marinara, but with extra... Mm-hmm. Garlic.
Ooh.
You know, you basically, like, you're making Bloody Mary mix,
right?
And some good salsa, like good I maybe even just repurpose some leftover salsa I have in the fridge, and then, right, puree it, you know. Ooh. Puree the salsa and the marinara. This is probably, I'm probably doing culinary settler colonialism right now.
At the very least, it's probably chelada heresy. But
no,
yeah.
Absolutely. No, but I think that the thing is, it's like, I would like to drink a beverage that's like eating a hearty meal of pasta.
That's how I feel. Like, that's why when I make my Bloody Marys and my like knockoff cheladas and shit, I'm like, okay, V8 and then enchilada sauce. And then, you know, Worcestershire,
fuck,
soy,
yeah,
sauce, a couple olives, a few mozzarella balls, a few, yes, cherry tomatoes.
You put it all on top on skewers?
Oh, no, I stick all that shit in. And then you got your little bricks of cheddar and your little, like, okay, folded up, like, deli turkey and ham going on top. Or bacon if I have it around. You know, whatever. Like,
Jesus. I went to this restaurant one time, somewhere in the Midwest, where they do insane amounts of stuff on skewers on the top of Bloody Marys.
Right.
So you'll get, and it's like, you'll get a picture of a Bloody Mary, and there's like a entire deep fried Cornish hen, several like, you know, Pickle Rick sized pickles. Like, we're,
right,
talking like, you know, when you go to a gas station and they inexplicably have like a foot long pickle next to the register.
I love those though. But I mean, that's the thing about the Midwest.
You go to a Midwest, eggs, shrimp, fucking insane. But it's like, I would just take that, but nowhere on the menu can you just order what's on top of that drink. You have,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
order the drink. You would have to order all those things separately. Can I just get the assortment that's on top of the Bloody Mary?
Can I get
sometimes
a Bloody,
you know, it's p.m. you're supposed to drink Bloodies in the a.m.
can I get a Bloody and just pay more for more of the sides? Like, that's, yeah, really, that's the thing. Like, if I want a Bloody If I go to a bar, I expect my Bloody Mary to come out after years in the Midwest and Pittsburgh, which is not Midwest, but is the Rust Belt, similar vibe regarding bloodies. I want it to have like a whole ring of cocktail shrimp around it.
That's right.
Or like, I want it to have like a personal pizza sticking out of it. There's really funny photos online. There's ones where it's like a Bloody Mary that has like a stand coming out of it. And on the stand, there are several food items, including another Bloody Mary with its own shit going on top of it.
Yes. Oh my God. It's a it's fractal Bloody Marys on top of the one that's on top of the other one is just a thimble of a tiny, just a sip, a shot glass.
Russian nesting Bloody Marys, the Bloody Matryoshka.
Yes.
And it's like you drink a gallon of Bloody and then you drink a pint of Bloody and then you're drinking a cup and then like a tablespoon and a thimble. And then there's just a Bloody Mary flavored gusher that you eat.
Hell yeah. Well, anyway, I guess when it's just you and me on the pod, we end up talking about food and cars.
Yeah, food and cars. That's the stuff. Yeah, I had a funny thing I saw today that I wanted to tell all the listeners about. There was an elderly man in the first grocery store that I deliver bread to in the mornings. And he was talking to his wife, I think, some woman his age. And I couldn't make out the whole conversation, but I heard him say, "Called me a honky." And he seemed really upset about
John, stop eavesdropping on me.
This is a very conservative little area, but I gotta like wonder, how bad does it hurt like an elderly white guy's feelings to be when you call him a honky? Like, let's be clear. Honky is, one, not an offensive term. Two, the funniest attempt at an offensive term that anybody has ever come up with.
Oh, I mean, like, I like that word a lot. Obviously, I can't use it because it's not my word, you know? Well, unless I was reclaiming it. But, I mean, that's, you know, that's besides the point.
Right.
I feel like if you're not, what is it? If you're not a marginalized class, if your slur isn't like an actual slur, like, and you get mad for being called it, like it's just funny, you know.
Just crying in a theater, like, "Some black teenagers called me a honky. This honky eating beans," they said. Just weeping, like, "They said I was a spoiled jar of Hellman's. They called me Miracle Whip."
They called me Mayo Boy.
Mayo Boy.
Yeah, like when Pete Buttigieg fans were getting mad that people were calling him Mayo Pete. Like, come on.
That's the funniest thing too. He wasn't mad about Mayo Pete, or he was mad about Mayo Pete, but he wasn't mad about Rat Boy, is way more hurtful.
Yeah,
because it like actually comments on what's going on with him. Like, yes, he's unusually white, and that is a good and funny dig. But like Rat Man, that's just fucking right on the nose.
I feel like, but the thing is, like, the humble rat doesn't deserve to be compared to Pete Buttigieg.
Right. No, I get it. Rats. No,
I'm
rats
just kidding.
Are
they're pests. Fuck rats. If you keep rats as pests, you're disgusting.
I don't know. I've met a couple people who have rats as pets, and they seem like good pets.
No, no. The rats themselves are not disgusting. Like, pet rats are very cute. The people that keep rats as pets, they're always really crusty. You know what I mean? Like,
everybody
I've ever met that has a rat as a pet, they're white people with dreads. They're like totally wooked out. They're always like, they're like going to some music festival.
Yeah, their name like is have Flint, and they're a tattoo artist.
Yeah. Like, so, like, a girl's name is like Sierra, and she wears like three layers of skirts all down to like different lengths on her legs that are all different colors of tie dye. She's got white dreads down all the way down her back. And she's got like three rats just hanging out in her bra or something. You know, it's always those types of people that keep rats as pets. The rats themselves, very cute.
Rats can be very cute. I mean, they're like they're an underrated rodent. The capybara has gotten pretty popular, so I'd say they're rated. You know, everyone loves a capybara. That's the correct rating.
I do like capybaras a lot.
They're great. And then I think the most overrated rodent's got to be the squirrel, right? People love squirrels, but they're little pests. They're little pieces of shit. Fuck squirrels.
Yes, squirrels are definitely annoying little shits, and they steal bird seed that should go to birds and shit like that. And it's always like a arms race. The two most recent things, my parents put out bird seed and bird feeders, and I gave them this spray that birds can't taste it, but that you spray it on the bird feeder and around it, and the squirrels, like, it's basically like, you know, the hottest pepper spray. It's concentrated spiciness for the squirrels, but the birds can't sense it.
Right.
And then the thing that they got for themselves is like a thing that if it senses, because birds have hollow bones, so they're not heavy, but the squirrels are heavy. Right. So it's a bird feeder that senses if there's a squirrel, the weight of a squirrel on it, it spins really, really fast. And so they every so often they'll send me video of one of these squirrels getting just like flung.
I mean, that's awesome. Cause like, if you just try to scare them away with the spicy shit that birds don't care about, like eventually squirrels are going to start showing up with sour cream and Greek yogurt and shit and be like,
they're going
like
to develop a taste for it.
My nuts and Takis in this sour cream.
Man, I can't even eat Takis anymore. You know,
dude, I was like, I love Takis.
Love spicy shit. I'm getting to a point where it's just like, is it really worth the time spent on the toilet? You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
For me, the value consideration is that Takis in particular tear up my mouth. I don't know if it's spiciness or texture or the way that I eat them, like a squirrel that hasn't been fed in 10 days.
Sodium in one serving.
Yeah, it's they're deranged. They're like a deranged snack food, but
their very existence boggles the mind.
It truly does. I mean, they're kind of second only, I think, in terms of like just go ahead and torture yourself with this snack to wasabi peas.
Wasabi peas are actually pretty good.
They're delicious, but I will eat them until I cannot taste anything but wasabi. And if my tongue so much as brushes up against one of my teeth, I am in extreme pain.
Well, the problem is how you're eating them. You're eating them in big quantities and you're probably eating more than one at a time. You get a pot. You can't just eat them by the handful.
No, the gas station has like a 2-pound bag of spicy wasabi peas.
Oh my God.
And I just tear it open and I eat them till they're gone, a fistful at a time, like God intended. I don't know what to tell you.
You ever done the bar trick where you're like, oh, I can eat a whole glob of wasabi like off of a plate, and then you just swallow it before it hits any of your taste buds? You're like, look, I did that.
No, I didn't know that was a bar trick. I thought you were going to tell me, and then you make green mayonnaise with food dye. And you fool all your friends into eating wasabi.
Yeah, they're selling these fucking companies. They're selling wasabi mayonnaise now. They're selling like ketchup and ranch blended together, ketchup and mayonnaise. It's like
Cranch mayo chup.
That's increasingly specific combinations of sauces. Terrible business model. Terrible product. Mm-hmm. Just sell the fucking individual components of the sauce.
Yeah.
And let people combine them the way they want. So what if I want to combine relish and honey? So what if I want to put peanut butter and mayonnaise together? All right. Don't fucking get mad at me. All right.
Don't police me.
I'm sure you like to eat some disgusting things too. All right.
Don't babyfy my consumer choices. Okay. Kraft and Heinz. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't understand who is buying fucking like mayo chip. I get those are two common enough ingredients that you're going to combine
Thousand Island
often
without
enough.
The relish.
Right. There should be relish in there. But my thing is like, if you're really into mixing your sauces, you probably have perfected a burger sauce recipe already. You're at home already, like a little bit of mayo, little bit of Dijon, little bit of relish, little bit of Worcester sauce,
exactly,
little bit of soy, you know, and you get it spicy, whatever, you get it the way you like it. That's never going to happen coming out of a fucking squeeze tube. Like that's for people. Right. I gotta tell you, I really think it's just kids. I think it's meant to be something where kids see it in the store and they're like, "Mom, buy me this."
It's just green ketchup all over again,
right?
Like for the real heads,
for the Nickelodeon children.
Yeah, for the heady, you know, like I like the fries, I'm going to dip them in ketchup and mayonnaise if available, right? Because I'm not going to mix them up into one homogenous ketchup mayonnaise blend. I want like maybe one bite some ketchup, one bite mayonnaise. You know, I want to switch back and forth. I think that's enjoyable. I don't know.
Me too.
What do you think?
I got some chicken nuggets yesterday and they were like, what kind of sauces do you want? And I was like, can I get barbecue and honey mustard?
Hell
and then
yes.
I sit here with my little barbecue open and my little honey mustard open. And I'm like, this nugget is a mustard nugget. And you know, like, you kind of make your little decisions as you go along, yeah. Turn it into a game.
All right. So now that anybody from any major intelligence agency has stopped listening, what's actually going on in the world? I've heard the hog herd has had a large monthly drop. Did you hear about this?
There was a hog herd. So are these the 30 to 50 feral hogs charging into my backyard in 10 to 15 seconds while my 2 to 3 young children play?
That's right.
All right.
The hog herd, the feral hogs that are coming into your yard, are actually, they're kind of assimilating the livestock hogs into their herd. It's kind of, it's a Borg type situation.
Okay.
No. Actually, apparently the livestock hogs in the United States has hit their largest monthly drop since 1999.
Wow.
And that's so part of this like ongoing supply chain shortage. So there's a declining amount of places where you can store cold pork, basically.
That's insane.
I just thought it was really funny because it's the hog herd.
Yeah.
You know?
But no, it seems crazy to me that there's a pork shortage or a pork decline happening right now because they just brought the McRib back again. So
that's, you know what? Actually, I think that actually makes sense. You want to know why?
Why?
Because all the deals for the pork, for the McRibs, are done months and months in advance.
Right. Okay.
So
when there was a pork surplus, they got set up for the McRib.
Exactly.
And now that there's
the McRib
a pork,
is probably causing the pork shortage.
Right. And now there's a pork deficit, and McDonald's is like, you want your pork? This is the only place you can get it for a couple bucks.
Yeah,
this is the only pork under $3 in the whole country.
I don't even think a McRib is under $3 anymore.
Probably not. A McRib is probably fucking $69 now.
That's inflation, folks. That's the Democrats devaluing your currency. It's time to buy gold, and you can buy gold at beepbeep.com/buy gold.
That's right. I could just hear like a conservative talk radio host being like, the McRib, they should call it the McRobbed, because that's what McDonald's is doing to the consumer.
That's right. Have you seen this, folks? Have you heard about this? I don't even know. I mean, like, the McRib
is
back. My
wife hates the McRib.
You know what isn't back? You know what isn't back, folks? The McRib is back, but you know what isn't back? The jobs. All right, the jobs are never coming back.
And justice for the sniper who took out Osama bin Laden.
What do you mean justice for the sniper?
And a pay raise for all the NFL quarterbacks.
That's right. All the ones that aren't taking a knee.
I don't even know. Here's the thing. Like, I used to be so plugged in to what was going on in the reaction sphere, you know, like talk radio, cable TV.
Reaction sphere, not meaning like the spherical like force field that you project around yourself that reacts to incoming objects by deflecting them.
No, yeah, that I call
different
that the reactosphere. It's got a more science fiction-y kind of flair to it.
I'm so sorry for forgetting that you call it that.
No, yeah, but the reaction sphere of like weird, not quite mainstream, but still easily accessible free media.
Yeah.
Like I started listening to it again because I'm doing these bread deliveries in the morning. I'm like, let's see if the free beer and hot wings show is still on 97.9 GRD from to 10 in the morning. And it motherfucking is. These guys are like 54 Sick. Years old sitting around being like, looks like a dick. Like that. And
good for them.
I got back in touch with it a little bit and I realized I now have been removed from it for so long. I don't have any conception of what conservatives enjoy anymore. Right? Like I know what the hardcore Trumpers enjoy. They're easy to figure out
because
they have like a libidinal attachment to Trump. That's,
well, the thing is like they like Well, the thing is I think the hardcore Trump people is a more diverse demographic than we've been led to believe.
Probably.
Because like since he lost the election, you find them more and more. You find like weird pockets like you know, you'll like people who you would never expect are like, yeah, this is Biden shit sucks. Like, blow it all up, Trump. Because, and I think that there's something to be said about that, because it's like Donald Trump is a bull in a china shop, and the china shop is U.S. the U.S. imperial core, right?
Yeah.
Do you want Joe Biden, the steward of the imperial core, who's going to reform it at face value and make it, you know, market better? Or do you want to unleash the bull in the china shop and just let shit collapse?
I don't know. Here's, you know, the thing. If you actually take a bull and actually let him loose in the china shop, real china shop.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That bull isn't going to get like insanely wealthy off of it. So, I mean, ultimately, like, for the sake of the country, I would love a more destabilizing force. That's,
you think Trump got insanely wealthy off his presidency? Because I'm pretty sure they screwed that one up.
I would love to know how much money he made off his presidency compared to the other presidents. Because, like, you got to imagine Barack Obama did a way better job of extracting money out of the presidency than Trump could ever dream of.
Pelosi... Pelosi is one of the greatest stock traders of all time.
Oh yeah, she, I follow
69% annualized returns. First of all, nice.
But yeah, also, I follow Unusual Whales on Twitter. Yeah,
exactly.
And they're always tweeting about Pelosi moves on the stock market.
If you want to make fucking bank, just do exactly what Nancy Pelosi does with your fucking with your stocks, all right?
Well, because she has insider information. So, like, exactly. It's literally like a cheat code. If you just copy her homework, you will succeed, because Nancy Pelosi is in a position where she never, ever, for the rest of her life, ever has to make an investment where she's uncertain on the return.
It's insane that we allow this shit. It is insane that we allow this shit.
Oh, yeah. You know? They should be completely banned from trading. I mean, like, if you're a fucking elected official of any kind, like a state senator, like if you're like, I represent a neighborhood in Philadelphia at the state level, you should still not be allowed to trade stocks, cryptocurrency, do any kind of speculative finance, because you regulate that shit. That's conflict of interest, quite obviously.
I mean,
and then we have the audacity to be like, well, you know, Soviet bureaucrats frequently abused their power.
That's the thing. Like, look, if somebody, I'm down to do insider trading. If anybody has any tips, let me know. I'm totally down. All right. I'll keep it hush hush. We'll make a bunch of bank. All right.
Yeah.
Parody, satire,
secondary, non-direct insider trading, also known as liminal trading, right? Have inside information? Impossible to say.
Yeah, exactly.
That's between me and God. That's between me and Erwin Schrodinger.
Hell yes.
My insider information is in a quantum superposition right now, so you can't actually arrest me for that.
It's really unclear, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you tried to pull that shit, like, if you got busted... You or me got busted for insider trading. However, we would have access
if
to that.
If I busted, this is how I would do
it. If I busted all over some stock and the police were like, no, we would never be able to defend ourselves with something flimsy like, oh, that information fell off the back of a truck. But if Nancy Pelosi does it, she'll never even get investigated.
Yeah,
everybody
exactly.
will just be like, wow,
everybody knows.
She's a smart congresswoman.
And nobody can do anything.
And a top level trader. Real girl boss hours.
Well, so, and then there's also the news that the Biden administration in, I think, the infrastructure bill or one of the bills they just passed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a provision to study a tax on driving your car per mile.
Oh, fuck off.
That is insane. Okay.
Any fucking tax that hits the consumer can go fucking fuck
itself. That's right. And there's like, you know, epic leftists who are like, oh, well, that's good because cars are bad. It's like,
oh,
you have a baby. You are a baby understander. You have a baby understanding of how things work. All right. The majority of the working class has to use a car to get places because we don't have public transit. If we had public transit, it would be a different story. Okay.
Yeah.
If If I want to get to my job, I can't just take a fucking bus or a train because I don't live in a big city. All right.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing.
I have to take a fucking shitty truck.
We could get rid of every fucking car in this country and it would not slow down global warming. It wouldn't do half as much as if you went into the boardroom of Halliburton and just removed all of those people from their positions.
They want to tax you for every mile you drive. Meanwhile, they're raising the military budget.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll raise the military budget and then release a PSA that's like, did you know? No, you're actually not correctly sorting your cans into the different colored bins. Fuck you. Anything that's a fucking offloading of responsibility onto the worker, onto the consumer, should be resolutely resisted. And I get pushback about this so much. People are like, but John, don't you want to do your little part? Don't you think that if you just didn't drive a car, if you just didn't eat meat, if you just recycled really fervently, wouldn't you feel better about the impact you have on the planet?
No.
Not even a little bit. I would actually feel worse because I would have all these extra anxieties hanging over me that don't actually fucking amount to anything when I satisfy them.
You would have a worse quality of life. Like that's the liberal solution to global warming. That's the liberal solution
themselves.
To everything. It's just like make personal choices that make if you're a pro, you're a working person, you need to sacrifice. You need to make sacrifices and give up creature comforts. You need to give up eating meat, or you need to give up driving your car, or you need to give up having a barbecue, whatever. Meanwhile, the people, the fucking liberal elites, like they are just doing whatever the fuck they want. They're having $700 steak from fucking salt-based restaurant covered in gold leaf to hide the fact that it's really shittily cooked.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi makes a fucking cryptocurrency transaction that uses up as much electricity as like 9 Fukushima meltdowns. And everybody's like, well, she had to do that to stabilize the crypto market, you understand. She's got a very big brain. She completely understands Rick and Morty. Every joke lands. Nothing goes over her head.
I do want to make this completely clear. The idea that cryptocurrency uses an amount of energy, like electrical energy, that is actually affecting the environment is a complete psyop. Okay. The military, the various like companies that are the people that serve you advertising,
right. All
of the servers for all of these online businesses that don't do anything of value to humanity,
Twitter.
It's like they are using so much more energy. And cryptocurrency is put in front of you as like this example of a waste of energy because governments and like international finance, they don't want you using cryptocurrency once their power starts waning.
Because yeah, I mean, that makes
once
sense.
Their power starts waning, once the imperial core starts collapsing and people start, I don't know, trading amongst themselves, bartering, doing transactions where like the crumbling central governments can't have their hand in, then you have actual like then you have an actual threat to their power, and it snowballs from there basically.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. It's a threat to the Federal Reserve. I don't know if it's necessarily a threat in a productive way, but I definitely agree that like the United States government is very wary of cryptocurrency, and that is one of the
it is a threat.
The one of the liberalizing ways that they're trying to convince you is they're like, this is actually like if you rolled coal from San Francisco to New York, and it's like I'd like to see a crypto transaction try to take up more electricity than the powered studio monitors I use as TV speakers in my entertainment system.
Okay,
I don't think
it's
possible.
Every Amazon package where the volume of the box is 10 times the size of the item. Okay.
Yeah, well,
what uses more energy? Like me, I don't know, sending like $300 worth of Ethereum to somebody for like, you know, a couple, you know, an ounce or two of weed, somebody buying a toothbrush on Amazon and it ships in like a fucking 5-pound box.
Well, I mean, that's kind of funny because they imagine everybody's telling you, they're like, oh, did you know sending $300 in cryptocurrency actually uses up $9,000 worth of electricity?
Literally,
and I'm like, well,
literally
wait a minute.
A lie.
who's paying for it? Yeah. Like,
this is a blatant lie.
Who's mining cryptocurrency then? Like, it can't be profitable. Are people just doing it out of the goodness of their hearts? They're like, I did it. My life was not for much, but I did produce one extra Bitcoin for the world.
Yeah. I mean, on average, I mean, depending on what crypto you're using, I did a cryptocurrency transaction of like, a couple $100 last night. Because I wanted to take some out to spend it on basic necessities. And I used a crypto that the transaction fee ended up being like 20 cents.
Oh, right.
And then within a couple hours, I had money in my bank account.
Yeah. I mean, I did a crypto transaction last night, too. There was a guy who he shoved on me and I was like, oh, I got Ace King suited. So I just shoved right back and everybody else folded out and he didn't have anything. He had like 10 deuce off suit and I just like sweeped up the $20. I was so happy.
That's online poker.
Crypto is great.
Hell yes,
I love it.
other regressive shit, like that's the thing, because leftists are like, oh, crypto's bad, oh, you know, it's crypto, you're libertarian, whatever. It's like, if the government is evil, you want a way to do things outside of government influence.
Yeah,
the government is evil. There's no reforming the government.
I mean, okay? That's the thing. Like, you can't just be allergic to things that libertarians also like.
That's
because
right.
Even though libertarians are the dumbest version of people who want to live outside of what the U.S. state is doing, they are still in some ways, often token, but some of meaningful, trying to do that. And like, you know, if I needed to know how to build the perfect barrel for collecting rainwater, I would consult my local libertarian.
Well, that's right. It's like monkeys on typewriters. If you have enough libertarians, they're eventually going to come up with some good ideas on how to live off the grid. And if you just throw out the weird politics about like the libertarians, like complaining about the age of consent, or you throw out like the weird sovereign citizen shit, and you just take the, hey, collect rainwater, hey, do cooperative farming with your neighbors, engage in barter, like there's literally nothing wrong with that.
No,
you just, I mean, get rid of the weird reactionary politics and you just do the kind of interesting like off-grid nature stuff.
There's so many local fucking I'm sorry, I just got a disk space error on Zencastr.
I thought you were going to say, I just got a disk space error on my brain.
Yeah. I just shorted out in blue screen there. But it's so funny because like libertarians will be like, yeah, we got to end war. Did you see how much the Pentagon spends on war every year? And I'm like, yeah, man, that's fucking dank. What else? And they're just like, I think we should have to use gold bricks as money. And I'm like, I don't know. Come on, man.
I mean, I like the people who collect gold, it's fine, it's shiny, whatever, like anything. I don't have anything against it, you know?
This is my all gold. This is my solid gold Funko Pop. It's 9.2 pounds, worth approximately $1,600.
It's like a bunch of humans thousands of years ago decided, okay, this was going to be the immutable store of value or whatever. But
It's like when you're playing on a Minecraft server and diamonds are money now. They're no longer like a crafting resource. They're just money tokens.
Yeah, exactly. The thing that you like, I think the thing that a lot of leftists get wrong is that like if... I guess if you believe in reforming the current system, you're a liberal, okay?
Sure.
And you call yourself whatever you want. If you agree that the current system cannot be reformed, then like there's nothing wrong with trying to exist and live and cooperate with other people outside of it. That's literally what anarchism is, all right? And if you believe in a certain type of anarchism that is a little bit less lifestyleist, then there's nothing fucking wrong with that. Okay. I think that being, and I hate even using the term leftist these days because it's been so poison. Right.
But, yeah.
If you believe in these things, right. Like there is nothing wrong with trying to build communities, trying to build connections, between people outside of the system that you don't believe can be reformed.
Right. So that's why
people are afraid of that. People are, it's scary.
That's why BB Lettuce is proud to announce the libertarian all expenses paid cruise to China. Me and 25 libertarians are going to get on a boat and go see one of the most dystopian countries in the world. Wink, wink. We're going to have a great time and they're all going to realize that it's totally fine.
They're going to you're going to get a bunch of weed and sell bricks to China.
Yeah, we're going to get weed and sell bricks to China. We're going to go to China and illegally play Fortnite. That's what we're going to do.
Is that illegal now?
No, that's the thing. It's like there's been so many fucking bans. They banned crypto and everybody was like, oh, no. And then they like were like they set these limits on how much kids could play video games. And everybody was like, oh, my freedoms. I can't. What if a kid wants to play Far Cry 9 for 25 hours on a Wednesday? And it's like, you know, who fucking cares? This is a country that has like lifted millions and millions of people out of extreme poverty and plenty of other millions of people from normal poverty into non-poverty standards. Like, it's kind of much more impressive. Like, okay, yeah, you live in the United States. You can play Fortnite as much as you want. But if you have a tooth that gets fucked up, get ready to pay out the asshole to get it fixed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would rather have a mouthful of perfect teeth than be good at video games. And this is speaking as somebody who, by my own estimation, is really quite good at video games.
No, I agree completely. I mean, like, people are just happy there because they're not being constantly shoved down. They're not constantly having this idea shoved down their throats that they need to do this, this, and this to be happy.
And there's upward mobility. Like, you can get a good job in China. Can you get a good job in the United States? No, I've been trying.
You can, but you have to fucking step on other people's heads to get it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's not a good job. Like, any job where I have to, like, crush a bunch of people in my way to get there is not acceptable to me. And especially if the position then involves continuously crushing people to maintain your job. Fuck
exactly.
That. If I wanted to crush people for money, I would play online poker. Okay.
Yeah, which and you already do.
Right.
If I wanted to crush people for money, I would become a feeder and I would get really fat and then I would roll over onto people and crush them for money.
That's right. I mean, honestly, I bet you could make a pretty healthy living doing that.
Horrifying. It's
horrifying.
Just people need to be less horny. Okay. Like, be horny in a way that isn't like some freakish weird fetish that involves like physically, you know, hurting people.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, like, if you have one of those like things going on where you're like, I need it to be unpleasant for the other person, and like, fuck you, you're a piece of shit. But like, if you want to just be like horny and freaky and like do the, like, if your thing is like, oh, I love it when I fill the colander with mustard, that really gets me off. A colander full of mustard gives me a big old boner. Go ahead, but please, for the love of God, don't post about it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
if you're like an adult account and you exist in that area of the internet, fine, whatever, do whatever. If you are a less than 1,000 follower Twitter account that I recently followed back, please stop posting that shit.
yeah look, fucking kink, okay? Like, I don't know, man. I know there's like a debate about kink at Pride.
Really, I'm not qualified.
I don't know the details
I don't
of that.
Know a goddamn
but
thing.
I think that I. How about this? You shouldn't have pride in your kink. How about that?
Yeah.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't like post some weird. You know, it's like just keep it yourself. You know,
kinks should be matter of fact, right? You should only talk about them when the time is absolutely right, and you shouldn't be embarrassed. But you also shouldn't be looking for approval. You should just say matter of factly. I like to stick my toe in the garbage disposal and think about turning the switch on. And if that's your thing, just mention it and move on with your life. Okay?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, like that guy who on YouTube who like does the videos where it's like he just eats horrific amounts of food. You know what I'm talking about?
Does he doing like a mukbang thing?
Yeah.
Or is he like a professional eater or something like that?
It's horrifying, but he gets off on the shame of being like publicly humiliated. I was like,
I always thought the guys who ate all the food were just like real bro-y. They were like, check out how many fucking chiclets I can eat. Check out how many.
I think when you get to that level where you're like just horrifically unhealthy because you ate like 20 Saweetie meals in one sitting, you know, I it's just sad. You know, it's like, it's a mental illness at that point.
I mean, people do, they get a weird fixation, and especially with people who do things like competitive eating or big streams, where they just like do mukbang or whatever, you have to wonder what percentage of that is like pathological and which percentage of that is them knowing that there's an opportunity here and that people will watch this.
Here's a concept. Like, who's the guy in China that does that shit?
Oh, like Hebei Pengzai, the guy who does Pengzai, the beer tornadoes.
That guy
and
rules.
Shit?
Okay, you know what he's doing? You know, he fucking works in the field. He's a farmer. You know, he's working his ass off. All right. In China, it's like people, it's not like a thing. It's not like an entertainment thing to sit down and eat like 30 Big Macs in one sitting or something like that. It's like this Pengzai does it with finesse and panache. And he's
he's a
dunking
showman.
Like setting a shot on fire. It's like, that's cool.
He has skills. Right? He manipulates
that shows
the cigarette.
The difference in the like it's not some sort of like morbid thrill to watch somebody slowly kill themselves by doing mukbang.
No, see,
China.
That's the thing. When Pengzai went behind the scenes, he was like, I don't drink by myself. I drink with family and I drink on camera so that people can see my tricks and my ideas and
that's
my performances.
Right.
And I hope that everybody's having fun with it.
There's an
Meanwhile,
artistry to it.
Here in the United States, we're all still stuck in like epic mealtime mentality. Where
dude,
it's like,
epic mealtime!
Dump 50 gallons of nacho cheese on it and then pour in 3 pounds of bacon and just jam your face in it and suffocate like Elvis. Like, that's, you know, that's it's like a weird, Americans are very death culty about their food, right? Like,
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
People think I probably am because I'm like, ooh, I gotta get some fried cheese curds, you know, my that'll hit the spot, that'll really be my jouissance for the day.
I mean, fried cheese curds are good,
they're fucking amazing.
Yeah, I went to the county fair like 2 weeks ago and I got some.
But
really
I don't treat
good.
Myself to cheese fried cheese curds every day. I'm not like the guy who's like,
it's
okay,
like
this
once
is
once in a year thing for me. Yeah.
Oh, well, Culver's is right down the street.
Oh,
so for me, it's
once
a month.
Midwest people. Yeah.
Yeah. Midwest people. I mean, that's the thing. Like my wife is always making fun of me because she's like, you fucking Dutch boys. All you eat is like blocks of cheese and pints of beer and you're perfectly fine. Nothing bad ever happens to you.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, well, you know. I grew up in Michigan and this is all I know. So,
speaking of which, I switched to only drinking whiskey now when I drink, because there's less carbs in it, but mainly because like I was drinking like 10, 12, 15 beers in one sitting. And I was like, I'm so full because I haven't broken the seal yet, but I'm not drunk yet. What the fuck? You know, I was like, wait a second. I have lost. John gets up to get a beer.
I went and got
I'm
a
like,
beer.
I have lost the fucking plot. All right. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm not going to sit and drink like 10, 15 beers, you know, sitting on the river, you know, fishing or just hanging out or something. But when I go out to actually like, have like a drunk night, I stop drinking, trying to do beers on those nights because it's just like, I don't need to feel bloated. I guess I'm getting fucking old.
Yeah. I mean, I like beer because like I'll drink like up to 5 in a night. I usually drink like 2, but up to 5. But if I am like drinking to get drunk, I don't want beer at all because the last thing that I want is to be drunk in the bathroom for half the night. If whiskey is a great way to go, vodka, just lapping wood grain alcohol
I can't fuck with vodka. I just
really?
Have had, you know, the vodka has always been like, vodka has always been the worst, like, experiences. Like, we're going to make jungle juice with vodka tonight. It's like, we're going to have a bad night.
No, vodka is good for like, if you want to open up the flavor of whatever you're mixing it with. Like when I make my chiladas, I throw a half a shot of vodka in the bottom because vodka opens up the flavor on the tomato juice in a really lovely way.
And I then like it, that, yeah.
It keeps the tomato flavor very present while you're diluting it with beer. but I would never be like, hey, barkeep, shot a Popov.
a visceral like wave of disgust just washed over my body. Yeah. As you said that.
That's like, I keep a plastic gallon of Kamchatka in my bathroom closet.
That's right.
Next to the bleach and the ammonia.
Yeah, it's a cleaning agent. Yeah. Nice.
I mean, because if I'm going to drink vodka, I go out and I buy a decent bottle like Finlandia, where I'm not getting overcharged, but it doesn't taste like trash.
No, you got to go to the Costco. Where it's bottled at the same place. It's mm-hmm. the same vodka, but it's just Costco Kirkland.
Yeah, well, we got for my wedding, we got the Kirkland brand tequila, and it was like, this is bottled in the, it wasn't Hornitos, but it was bottled in the same facility as another well-known.
Hornitos? What the fuck kind of, what the fuck kind of tequila are you drinking there?
All right? No, I said horny toads, and I lick them and get off the boofafin.
Battle toads.
I mean, maybe, what if, in all those memes where it says they're passing you the boof, what if what that really means is that it's a joint with boofafin in it and you're about to trip off toad balls?
Oh, dude, that would be so sick.
Okay, wait a minute. Here's something we can talk about too, because speaking of toad, the casting for the Mario movie.
I have not been keeping up with it.
Good.
Look it up. Give me one at a time and I'll react, because I really haven't been paying attention to this.
Okay, so first off, you've probably at least seen that Chris Pratt is going to be Mario.
I've seen that. I think it's like fine, because like Italians are weird Catholics who have a lot of like racist undertones, and so is Chris Pratt.
Okay. Correct.
<That's> fine.
So now we have Charlie Day as Luigi.
I like Charlie Day. He's great.
I ate all of the spaghetti.
He should have been Waluigi.
What's your spaghetti policy here?
He's like, no, because he plays a good sidekick. He plays a good flustered sidekick guy. But I don't really see Luigi as like the flustered sidekick. You know what I mean?
He's like the more responsible older brother, I always thought.
Yeah, exactly. If anything, I would have cast Toad as Charlie Day.
See, that was my big objection, right? Because like, obviously Jack Black is going to do an excellent job as Bowser.
So Jack Black is Toad?
Jack Black is Bowser.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's going to be good. He's going to be like, oh, this friggin' Mario guy's jumping all over my hench dudes. We need more. And then he'll be like, firepower! And then he'll like sing a song, and he'll be like, a long, long fucking time ago in the kingdom of Mushroom.
I like that.
But Keegan-Michael Key is going to be Toad. Which
doesn't make
is
any sense.
So incongruous with every voice Toad has ever had in any Mario game franchise associated thing whatsoever. Like, there's literally a meme series where Toad, much like Carl Weezer from Jimmy Neutron, will sing popular songs terribly. And here's the thing. Keegan-Michael Key has a beautiful voice and excellent delivery. And he sounds like a normal, smart, funny guy. That is not what Toad is supposed to be.
Yeah, that's right.
Toad is supposed to be a weird little thing that's scared and screaming and uncanny.
That's why I'm saying Charlie Day.
Charlie Day should.
That makes a lot of sense,
honestly,
right?
Just flipping those roles. Keegan-Michael Key as Luigi, very good.
Yeah.
Charlie Day as Toad, honestly, that's top of your range right there. That's very, very good. And then, honestly, here's my thing. Like, I know Jack Black is going to be Bowser, but if Jack Black is Bowser, it's going to end up being the Bowser movie more than it is the Mario movie.
Well, that I think that's the Mario movie that we need.
Right.
Because look, you know, we need to rehabilitate Bowser. All right.
Yeah,
because
we did it with Dr. Robotnik. Right.
The thing is,
the Sonic movie was basically the Dr. Robotnik movie, the Jim Carrey hour.
Bowser is just trying to peacefully industrialize the Koopas. Okay.
That's right.
Meanwhile, Mario and Luigi and Peach, they're this band of like eco-terrorists that just is just murdering people left and right by jumping on their heads. It's disgusting.
Right. Bowser has promised the Koopa Soviet peace, land, and coins.
Right. That's
and
right.
Mario is showing up on their land, stealing their coins, disrupting the peace.
That's right.
That's right.
And the Italians are doing sanctions against the Koopa Nation.
Right.
It's well, a big
and
problem.
I mean, like, here's the thing. It should have been obvious Mario was the bad guy from the beginning, considering he's an Italian man developed by a Japanese company. World
that's
War II
right.
much?
Yeah, that's
all we're
right.
missing is Germans, am I
that's
right?
right? Well, the Germans made the cameras that they used to shoot the movie. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, Germans make so much, like, specialized technology that you'll be like, wow, I'm so glad I finally got the fucking, the high-speed camera that takes 9,000 frames per second. I can finally start my slow-motion YouTube channel. And you look on the bottom, and it was, like, produced by hand by Hermann Göring. And you're like, fuck!
Yeah, that rocks. Yeah. It fucking rocks so fucking much that like West Germany was basically like we were just like you could keep, you know, all of the, you know, Nazis in charge, right? Just don't call them Nazis, all right? You know,
right,
keep all the bureaucracy, whatever, but, you know, America and England, and we all get our hands in this, you know, we all get our hands in this economy.
You better give us your top scientists. You better give us your top weapons experts. You better give us that guy that tried unsuccessfully to invent that weird little bullet plane for the Germans during World War II that during testing was so dangerous to even try to test drive that they discontinued it immediately.
I
gotta give us all of that.
Watching Nazi technology YouTube videos about planes.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, I think Americans are really fascinated by that because Americans very similar to Germans have that instinct of like, okay,
absolutely,
I know that engineers have developed some of the most efficient killing machines in modern warfare, but what if I taped wings to a barrel and put a lawnmower engine on it and put guns on the
right.
front? And
that's,
like,
that's exactly
for
right.
some reason, I don't know if it was like the weird mysticism that was a part of like the Nazi empire regime, whatever, or like just the character of the German people,
like,
but they
streak.
Like they really tried to invent like lethal clown cars and like a submarine operated by a dog. Like, it must have been the methamphetamine, right? It had to be Krieger biscuits that they were all eating.
Well,
like,
I think you and I need to start taking Adderall before we pod, and then we'll come up with, I mean, it'll just be an absolute mess. I think it'd be really fun.
That would have been useful for me maybe like 2 years ago when we were still relatively new to this podcasting game. But as it stands, like, I've been in like a year and a half long manic phase.
Nice.
And so I don't need any stimulants, honestly.
That's right.
I need something to slow me down. I need a good bowl of grass. You know what I'm talking
you
about?
You need to
dads
get in,
out there?
In the couch.
In. Oh,
that's right.
I need to get fucking couch locked and fucking region locked and fucking no clipped and out of bounds did and fucking just gone.
Do you still fuck
mids.
With Kratom?
Once in a while I have a little bit of it hanging around, but
yeah,
honestly,
back in like 2017, 2018, I was taking that shit like every day.
Yeah, that's
and,
too
it was
much
great.
For me.
Yeah, I, yeah, your tolerance builds up over time and it's just like, I don't want to be taking
well,
like.
And I don't know, this is just me. Okay, I've tried three different kinds of Kratom. So there's the weed strain guys have all gotten
Hell
into
yes.
Kratom and they're ready to tell you, you have not tried the right strain of Kratom. You got to get the white stuff. If you,
you
want to
get
such
the
and
one
such.
That doesn't make you puke, which is like all of them except for one.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I've tried three different ones and they all made me feel good for a mm-hmm. while. And then I woke up the next day and I had like no ability. Like I felt like I was hungover. But like more than that, just fuzzy. And I couldn't
really
get my clarity back very well in the mornings after I took Kratom. So I kind of just stopped because I don't know
See,
if it's because I also smoke
Kratom.
A lot of weed and I didn't
Probably
make any
that.
Changes to that at all.
It's most likely that it's the combination of Kratom and weed because
I had to choose and I chose weed. So
because I can take a bunch of Kratom and I feel even better the next morning. I feel more rested. I feel more relaxed. And if you use code beep beep at checkout,
that's right.
buying Kratom. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, honestly, that was the way I felt the morning after the first time I did acid. I woke up the next day because I did acid at like 10 in the morning on a Saturday, and I was on it, you know, all day, got to bed at a reasonable hour, like 9 or 10 that night. And then I woke up the next day and I felt fucking amazing. Oh, I felt better than I had felt in years.
Speaking of waking up feeling amazing, dude, I had to go to the DMV like a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And I had been drinking really heavily the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the mistake of drinking really heavily and then having my appointment be too early at the DMV. So I went to I woke up and I'm like, wow, I'm not hungover. I drank so much last night, but I'm not hungover. Then I get up out of bed and it's immediately apparent that I am still fucking hammered. So I make it to the DMV and I'm just like, I am having a blast. Like, being drunk at the DMV makes the DMV so much better, dude. I swear to God, I was like, in my head, it was only like, because if when you're high, like you are inside your head making fun of everything that's going on around you. But when you're drunk in a place like the DMV, in like this like bureaucratic hellhole, it's a less inhibited inside your head making fun of everything around you, especially if you smoke to alleviate the hangover. Then you're drunk and high at the DMV.
I mean,
real good time.
If you're smoking weed, you want an experience that really stimulates you, right? You want to be at like a fucking concert or playing a video game or like watching a really good movie or something. But if you're drunk, you almost want a very neutral environment. And the DMV seems kind of perfect because you're like, okay, there's chairs everywhere.
It spices it up a little
bit. I'll find a chair.
Bored out of your mind.
You get your number and you're like, you're drunk. You're like pulling your number ticket up to your eyes and pulling it away.
Yes.
You're like 22. Okay. And then the lady calls you up and she's like, sir. And you're like, oh, me? And like, you're like, a ball.
You get to the window and you're like, just that exact level of drunk where you're kind of charming this like person who has dealt with like the dregs of humanity all day. And you're like, you're cracking jokes while she's registering your shit box or whatever. it's a lot. It's nice. I highly recommend it.
That level of drunk is so great when you are just like fluid, where you can like, you get to a counter or you meet someone and you read them for a second and you're like, I bet this person wants to talk about crochet.
Yes. It's
like I bet this person wants to talk about Little Big Planet. And then you mention it. And they're like, oh, I love that thing. You're like, I am the best.
You have like a +2 to luck and to speech.
Charisma.
But you haven't drank enough that you start getting a debuff to
dexterity.
Coordination.
Dexterity. Constitution. Yeah, strength.
Yeah. When your nootropic stack includes getting buzzed.
My nootropic stack. Posting my nootropic stack on Twitter, it's just like 4 beers on top of each other, a full bowl, a well-rolled blunt, and one 10 milligram Adderall.
The hell yes. All right. Well,
honestly, that was the scary thing about Adderall for me is like I would take an Adderall and I'd be like, I can drink anything.
That's right.
I will now drink a whole bottle of absinthe.
Hell yeah.
And then you wake up in the morning as dehydrated as you've ever been. You're like, wow, I feel like a piece of roadkill jerky.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a nootropic stack, it's time to take your nootropics because the episode is over and you have to go out into the real world, folks.
Pop that new pep to my friends.
This has been Beep Beep. Chris and Bryn have like COVID or something. I don't know. It's probably not COVID.
They have a novel influenza virus. That's the next one that's coming around. We're not doing the COVID SARS anymore. We're going full influenza.
Wait, are you serious? There's a novel influenza virus coming?
No, but but also yes.
Yeah, no. It's
Ligma on the horizon. A novel Sugma.
The real pandemic is racism, folks.
That's right.
All right, bye.
This honky eating beans. Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. Look at her eyes get so red. And what the hell is on Joey's head? This is where I grew up. I think the president fixed it up. I never knew he ever went without. The second floor is hard to sneak in. Most of the time I'd better things to do.
cause then I wouldn't let me me.